You're listening to Christian Talk 660 and 92.9 FM. This is Christian Worldview with Tony and Hannah. To be a part of our program, dial toll-free 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Then you can talk to our hosts, Hannah Miller and Dr. Tony Bean.
All right, welcome in. I just read another one of these jokes. Welcome in, everybody. This is Tony Bean, Vice President for Student Life and Christian Worldview at North Greenville University, where Christ makes the difference. My co-host is Hannah Miller.
Outspokenly opinionated and unashamedly conservative, this is Hannah Miller, informed and unafraid.
This is totally random. Do you remember Lauren Cooley? Did you meet her?
Yeah.
She was doing, okay. You know, she's really getting up there.
Yeah.
I mean, she's like...
I haven't kept up with her, but...
Well, she's some kind of editor for the Washington Times. And she's right. I mean, not the main editor,
but she does
some kind of writing for them. And she's speaking at conferences, and she's putting all this stuff out there. Yeah, I am. I was just so pumped to see that. I'd love to get... I bet her phone... I think I've still got her cell phone, but she probably has somebody to answer it now. You know,
maybe
I wouldn't be able to just
be that fancy.
Used to be able to call her up, you know, and hey, Lauren, why don't you come by? I'd probably have to pay her to come do something. She did the show for me for a week one time when I went on vacation, and people really liked her.
Yeah,
I mean,
I remember.
She's good. She was not as good as you.
Oh, no, no. You don't have to say that. She's excellent.
I don't have to, but I like to speak the truth. So.
No, Lauren, she does an excellent job, and I'm really excited for her.
All right. I got to start with two jokes. I got my Reader's Digest today. And when I found out that Reader's Digest was still out there, I about flipped out. Because when I was a kid, my mama... Yeah, I mean, Reader's Digest was like the thing.
Yeah.
And I couldn't wait for the Reader's Digest to come. And most of the time, the jokes are kind of hokey, but there's two that is worthy of sharing on the air. Okay, you ready?
All right.
Ready for
number
one?
All right, let's go.
Here we go. A priest buys a lawnmower at a yard sale. Back home, he pulls on the starter rope a few times with no results. He storms back to the yard sale, tells the previous owner, "I can't get the mower to start." "And that's because you have to curse to get it started," the man says. "Well, I can't do that. I'm a man of the cloth. I don't even remember how to curse." He said, "You just keep pulling on that rope and it'll come back to you." this is a good one.
We've all had experiences, piece of machinery that way.
We were talking about that. The worst is the weed eater.
The weed eater.
Because you have to hold it. If you don't lay
it
down
flimsy.
Flat.
There's no pull against it, you know.
You know, I finally, you know, this is just me, okay? It finally occurred to me I have to lay the thing down
put
in the
foot
yard.
Down on it.
Put my foot
on
it.
Yeah, that's right.
Because I'm trying to.
Yeah,
It's kind of like pulling them apart. You know, get the stupid thing to crank.
Uh-huh.
All right, this is the one that deserves the rim shot here. My dad is so cheap. You're supposed to say, "How cheap is he?
How cheap is he?"
My dad is so cheap that when he dies, he's going to walk toward the light and then turn it off. Nah, come on.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
We joke at my house, that my mom is constantly going around flipping the lights off.
Oh,
and
yeah.
My dad, we like, you know, that the sinners love the dark or something like that, you know. And yeah, we're just all like, of all people to say that to, my mom, who's
a
saint. And then, but we went to this and saw Tim Hawkins one time. And he was joking about it. He said, "You know you're old when all you do is walk around your house turning the lights off, grumbling about your kids." And then when we all just looked right at my mom, because that's exactly what she does.
Well,
why do we
mama,
have to have every light in the house on?
What is it? Yeah, what is it about mamas? I mean, my mama used to say, "Cut that light off." You know, and I'm like, "Cut the light." And then Denise started saying that to me. "Cut that light off." I said, "Well, give me a knife, and I'll cut the wire."
It's a Southern thing, apparently.
Apparently.
Yeah, because I say, I'm like, "Hey, cut the light off." And when I was in Pennsylvania for school for a year, they would laugh at me about that. They're like, "You flip the light off or you turn the light off."
Yeah.
I'm like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Where I come from is you cut it off or on."
Wow.
So.
Well, I grew up with that. I did. And then Denise started it after we got married. But I never said that. I never said, that light on over there. Cut that light on. Because it just sounds weird to me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Trump yesterday, I mean, what can you say? He caved. I mean, all week, you know, It's the Democrats. They have to act. There's nothing I can do.
We have to have legislation. Congress needs to make a move.
I can't do anything. Oh, except sign an executive order. And, you know, it's the day that Chuck Schumer came out and said he can fix this with his pen. The legislation is complicated and it takes time. The president can fix this with his pen. You want to know why this happened?
Tell me why it happened.
I'll be glad to tell you why it happened. Cut number 10. I titled this cut, Why I Signed. Now, you can debate me if you want to, but I'm going to believe this until I turn that light off that I see when I start walking. Here we go.
Ivanka feels very strongly. My wife feels very strongly about it. I feel very strongly about it. I think anybody with a heart would feel very strongly about it. We don't like to see families separated. At the same time, we don't want people coming into our country illegally.
Yeah.
There's
a cold wind blowing in the White House. And it was coming from Ivanka and Melania.
You know, I heard somebody
talking about the pressure.
Somebody told me yesterday that he just wanted to one-up Ted Cruz, and because he knew Ted Cruz had this policy coming out or a legislation coming out. And I was like, you know, I don't think at all
baloney.
That it had anything
That's
to do
baloney.
With Ted Cruz.
Yeah, nothing.
I don't think so either.
Because he doesn't care. He doesn't care about Ted Cruz.
No, he doesn't.
Plus, you got to get Ted's got to get that passed in the Senate.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way.
Well, and
I mean,
of course, he
Susan Collins is not going to vote for anything that doesn't let everybody just walk around free.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's no way they're going to get it passed in the Senate.
No.
It doesn't matter what the House does today.
You know,
they got these bills coming up. They got a moderate bill and a conservative bill. And President Trump, being true to President Trump, said, I'll sign either one of them. I don't care. You send me the light bill and I'll sign it. Mm-hmm. I'll sign whatever you send me up. But neither one of them are going to pass because you've got Republican. You get
well.
No,
he had him over a barrel. He had him over a barrel.
Yeah,
and then he just kicked the barrel out from underneath.
I'll tell you why. Did you see the polling on this? 70-30. 70%.
Well, I saw a poll yesterday that was 56 in favor were against, and then 44% were in favor of what was going on. So I was actually surprised by that.
Yeah, but when you ask the question, should parents and their children be separated? At the border,
right.
70% are opposed and 30% say they
well,
don't care.
Well, problem is with what's
and
you
he
know he signed this executive order, but there's what was so appealing about Ted Cruz's legislation was it helps the problem. Now these families
no,
will be put
nothing.
Together. This does nothing. It keeps
it
the families
nothing.
Together,
Thank
but
you.
They're kept in they're going to be kept in little camps or whatever for extended period,
yeah.
months and months and months.
Well,
that it takes
yeah,
them.
No, that's not going to happen though.
Because I mean,
you
can't.
Realize the Flores, the Flores law. That they have to,
right.
the
they
kids
have
still
to.
Have to be separated after 20 days. They have to be placed
but
with a sponsor.
But they've done nothing to help make that
well,
happen.
And now, well, the Justice Department, he did, part of the executive order instructs the Justice Department to go ask the judge who ruled on this to reverse their ruling. Now, how far do you think that's going to go? Look, here's why I don't understand why he did it. It does nothing for him. The progressives immediately started saying, oh, you're just going to incarcerate the whole family. You're just going to.
Right. This was a lose-lose.
Their whole thing. Juan Williams, made me so mad yesterday that I thought I was going to throw something at the television because he just kept saying the other four on the five kept giving him information about, what the Obama administration did and what this policy really is and what this. And all he kept saying was, it's not about any of that. Not about any of that. It's about keeping families together. And they were saying, okay, so Juan, you're in favor of these human traffickers bringing children to exploit them into the United States. You're in favor of parents. He said, you get a parent that leaves a child in a hot car for 5 minutes and they're going to go to jail. But you let a parent cross the entire country of Mexico through the desert, dragging their kids behind them and bring them to the border, and you're okay with that. You don't care if the parents doing that to their kids to get them here. And one, it's nothing about, it's just about separating families. See, that's the way they do that. That's the way progressives do this. They get one issue. They keep pounding. They keep coming until they find something that sticks. And this stuck, and now it's got Trump backpedaling.
And
say what you want, but he backpedaled.
He did backpedal. And, he really, and the tables were beginning to turn, because yesterday Schumer came out and was like, we're not going to sign, we're legislatively not going to do anything, it's up to him. And people are more angry with Congress than they are with Donald Trump.
It was
and he could have
Schumer
won the day.
Gave them a gift
yesterday
when he said that. I thought about that when he came out.
I said, oh, this is it.
I don't care. We don't care what you pass, we want the president to do something.
And that revealed, and this is from the same guy who's been like, you can't make executive orders, you can't, you know, I mean, they've been pushing back against all the executive orders, and then all of a sudden he's like, what, you got to make an executive order.
If we didn't have hypocrisy, we would have no virtue in this country at all.
Right.
I mean, the only thing that we can say that we are right now is a bunch of hypocrites.
Right.
I mean, it's unbelievable to me what's going on. All right, let's take a break because we're running over time. We'll come back. I got a montage. We always have a montage.
Okay.
I got a montage of the president signing yesterday. We'll play that for you. We've got Lee Bright coming up at 8:05. We had William Timmons yesterday. We've got Lee Bright today. I think John Warren is either today at 8:30, I think, or could be Monday. I know the attorney general is coming on. Alan Wilson will be on Monday.
Okay.
And we've got a request into Governor McMaster, but he's running around with Mike Pence and President Trump, so I don't know if we'll get him or not, but we're going to see if we can get him on. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
And here are your hosts, Hannah Miller and Dr. Tony Bean.
We're talking about turning lights off last segment. Have you ever seen That Thing You Do, the movie? You ever seen that movie?
Yeah, I think I have.
I love that. My favorite character in that movie is the dad who runs Patterson's, you know, store, appliance store. Because he's just hilarious. And there's one scene where he pulls up and he's Guy Patterson, the drummer.
Maybe I haven't seen this one.
He's left the Patterson's light on.
Yeah.
You know, and he drives up, let her burn. Let her burn all night. He doesn't turn lights off at home. Why would I think he would turn off one down here at the store? He's my favorite character.
Tom Hanks? It's got Tom Hanks in it.
Yeah, Tom Hanks, that thing you do.
I've seen it a long time ago, but
it's a great movie.
I love Tom Hanks. So.
I've got that one in mind. That's actually in my top 10.
Oh, really?
I love that movie.
What's your number one on your top 10?
The number one movie of all time?
Yeah.
Oh, easy. Sound of Music.
Really?
Yes.
I
lost count of how many times I've seen The Sound of Music.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch the new one with Carrie
Underwood? When I was a kid, I broke the law.
You broke the law?
I did. I went into the theater and took a cassette tape recorder and
did
taped
you really?
The whole thing. Well, I was sitting
as a
there
kid,
watching.
How old were you?
I was probably 14, something
wow,
like that.
Wow, what tasted music at 14?
So, and I did. Listen, Julie
like
Andrews
brother,
would
Jay-Z.
Sing, and
Jay-Z's
I would just.
Jay-Z's like that. You know, just, I mean, and really Rob, too. They have, but they grew up.
They
with,
sound like Mary Pop. I mean,
No. They really loved a diverse kinds of music.
Oh, anyway. I did. Yeah, me too. Gosh,
you know,
I love
the sound of classics music. That are just beautiful.
And I don't like the Broadway version because they got all these weird songs in there that I don't know. You know, get rid of. Oh, just give me the give
well,
me the movie.
Well, there's no way
song.
To like, you know, do better than Julie Andrews. So
there really isn't.
There's no
yeah,
way.
She's still. She's getting pretty old, but she's still with us.
Yeah.
All right. Let me talk about something that's tangential to this whole immigration debate, and that is the unhinged nature of progressives and how they've just completely lost it. Case in point. Did you see this story about Peter Fonda?
Yes.
Having the Secret Service. He had to take down a tweet because the Secret Service paid him a visit at the request of Melania Trump. If you haven't heard this, this is cut number 8. I want you to hear the whole thing because this may be the most disgusting, vile thing that I've ever heard coming from a human being about another one. Here we go.
Peter Fonda's tweet has set off the White House and the president's family. The actor wrote, quote, "Rip Barron Trump from his mother's arms and put him in a cage with pedophiles." The actor speaking to the border children controversy. Donald Trump Jr. tweeted a response, quote, "You're clearly a sick individual," adding, "But rather than attack an 11-year-old like a bully and a coward, why don't you pick on someone a bit bigger? LMK, let me know." The Secret Service responding that they were aware of the tweet. The tweet was deleted and Fonda apologized, stating, "I went too far. I immediately regretted it and sincerely apologize to the family for what I said and any hurt my words have caused." Michelle Polino, Fox News.
You know, I don't know about you, but there are some things you just don't apologize your way out of.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't. Samantha Bee. You don't apologize your way out of calling... was it Ivanka? Yeah, Ivanka Trump, the C word.
Right.
You don't apologize your way. I mean, You know, Roseanne Barr apologized. Mm-hmm. She's apologized about 100 times. Mm-hmm. And nobody is even suggesting that we should just let bygones be bygones. So because it's a left-wing, progressive, mm-hmm. you know, never support anything conservative Hollywood type, then they can just come on and say, oh, I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. I didn't really mean to say that.
That's
not the kind of thing that you say. Oh, yeah,
yeah,
Kathy.
I mean,
that's not the kind of thing that you say without having thought about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the impact of that statement should have caused him to be repulsed by his own thought process.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But this is where we've gotten. See, and I got several examples here. Mike, hang on. I know you're here. We find out now that, you know, we heard that Christian Nielsen tried to go out and have dinner.
Right. And she's run out.
And she's run out by a bunch of Democrat socialists.
Same thing happened a few weeks ago by Tommy Lauren to
yeah,
Tommy Lauren.
Yeah, right. And now we find out that one of the people that heckled her works for the Justice Department.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have bias at the FBI and the Justice Department. No, no. We mm-hmm. just have people who are part of the resistance that have responsibilities in enforcing the laws of the country. Now, to be fair, she's some kind of, you know, like scribe whose office is probably on the left side of the basement,
mm-hmm.
but of the Justice Department. So she's not out there making decisions every day about what mm-hmm. laws we're going to enforce. But at the same time, she goes as a federal employee. Now, she's defending it. She says, I've got First Amendment rights. It was on my own time. Okay? No harm, no foul. Mm-hmm. I agree. If she wasn't on the clock, then she gets to go and do whatever. But just remember that, you know, this is someone who works at the Justice Department, and they went back
conducting themselves this way.
They went back and checked her email, mm-hmm. her Twitter feed and her Facebook messages. And lo and behold, while she was on the clock, she was tweeting Donald mm-hmm. Trump resistance messages. And
yeah.
she was putting out tweets that talked about how horrible this thing was at the border. Okay. Now we're talking about a DOJ employee that's actually engaged in that kind of behavior while you're working. Being mm-hmm. paid for. And I just got to ask you okay, taxpayers? Are you okay paying somebody on the clock to go and disparage the President of the United States and his family? I just don't get. Or mm-hmm. attack people that are in the Trump administration just because they're associated with the Trump administration. So, and then there's this story. We had a, let's see if I can find it. Oh, I'm going to get to defend Robert Jeffress today. I'm so excited.
Oh, okay. Right.
I can't believe I hadn't talked about this yet, but I just hadn't had a chance to. There's this story. Here's this local lawmaker in Pennsylvania. He's a Democrat, statewide lawmaker. And he put a picture on Facebook welcoming Vice President Mike Pence. And it's the one finger salute. I mean, just to the Vice
wow.
President of the United States. And then he's faced a bunch of backlash.
As well he should.
Not taking it down. Uh-uh. Mm-hmm. Defiant. Saying, I don't mm-hmm. care what you say. I don't care what you think. And if you look at the comments, a lot of them are like, I can't believe you're this disgusting that you would mm-hmm. do such a thing even if you disagree
well, look,
with it.
You know, you and I would say there is freedom of speech. But at the same time, there should be a cultural and social pushback against vulgarity.
And incivility.
And incivility. That's right.
What
yeah, sure.
Mike Pence
maybe
done?
Legally you have the right to do
oh,
that
he
kind
can
of
do
thing.
It.
But socially, just as good, civil, decent people, we should say raise the bar. We should not have the vulgar language that we have coming from people like Samantha Bee. And et cetera. And then you have in the vulgar images that you see coming from this guy and from Kathy Griffin, et cetera. It's just disgusting. And we should have higher expectations for, especially for those in leadership positions.
Yeah. Well, his name is Brian Sims, and he's a statewide representative in Pennsylvania. And, you know, you should see some of the comments. I mean, people are saying, I've never loved anybody more than I love you right now. I mean, you know, that
right.
kind of thing. Jumping on the left-wingers mm-hmm. who would be appalled.
Right.
If, I mean, they were up in arms. Let's go back to Roseanne Barr when she compared a progressive woman, and they should have been. You know what? We condemn
right.
that. We talked about how that's wrong.
Yep.
But nobody's going to come out and condemn this. And I'll tell you something about the comment that was made by Peter Fonda. You don't have progressives. Yesterday on the 5, Juan Williams had an opportunity. He said, well, it's foolish, but the real point is families are being separated at the board. Didn't even want to talk about
right.
The fact that somebody would say something like that in public.
And not even about, it's not even that it's about Donald Trump either. It's his 11-year-old son.
Exactly. I mean, what is he supposed to think? You know, Barron, why does Barron
have to
get
dragged into
this?
What if he'd done something like that to one of Obama's children?
Oh, my goodness.
The world would be burning.
If you mentioned one of Obama's girls.
You know, his family is off limits. His family is off limits.
People went nuts.
Right.
And now you
can. As well, they should have.
Exactly. Because just because you're the children. Well, same thing with Jenna and what's the other one's name? The Bush girls. Denise is yelling at the radio right now because she knows them. She can call those names. But anyway, Jenna Bush and the other daughter, the Bush daughter, they were, you know, people would take shots at them when President Bush was in office. All right, Mike, what you got?
Hey, you know, here's the thing. If we could catch the false catchphrases, we'd really understand a lot of things. But nobody's ripping children from their parents. We're not going into Mexico and taking children from their parents. In fact, we want children to be with their parents. You know, my question would be this right here, if somebody would ask Juan Williams, and I don't know if he has a baby or children, but what would happen if he would take his baby to some of these countries and left his baby at the borders at some of these countries? What would happen to that baby?
Yeah, well, now you're not going to look. The Democrat, they're smart about this. I mean, it's immoral and it's unethical, but politically they found something that works and they actually forced the President of the United States to take action. And they count that as a win.
And
then they come out and they don't accept his did anybody think? This is the thing where I don't understand why Trump did that. Did anybody think I'm going to sign this executive order and it's going to placate everybody? It's not going to placate anybody. They're just going to change their tactics. Now, I did hear one commentator yesterday, one of the panel members on Fox News, Brett Baer, the Fox Report. They were talking about the fact that this was a good thing for this reason, because Trump now is on the side of the angels, keeping families together. And keeping families together was the question that was 70-30. But when you start talking about border, zero tolerance at the border, that's when you have a majority of Americans who think we should have zero tolerance at the border. So if they can get the Democrats to actually have to defend the fact that what they really want is the catch and release program. So they liked what Obama was doing, because Obama would let people come. They would adjudicate. They'd turn them loose in the interior of the United States. And you know what? Only 3% of the people that were given a court date showed up, which is insane. That's just allowing. And we don't know who these people are. We're just letting them into the country.
Going.
Or what? Well, I'm telling you where they're going. They're going to Los Angeles or New York or some other sanctuary city, and they're going to hang out there because they know that nothing's going to happen to them. They're not going to be sent back to the country they came from. But that is driving me crazy. Anyway, Mike, thanks for the call. Let's take a break. We'll come back. 1-888-660-WLFJ, 888-660-9535. When we come back, I'm going to say good things about Robert Jeffress, the pastor of First Baptist Dallas. It may be the first time. Maybe not. We'll see in a minute.
And here's your host, Hannah Miller and Dr. Tony Beam.
Yep. This is Tony Beam.
This is Hannah Miller.
And, you know, I've made it pretty clear, I think, on this program that I'm not a big fan of Robert Jeffress. And mainly because of some of the things that he said, not because he's a Trump supporter. I mean, if he wants to get out and lead the parade for Donald Trump, that's fine with me. What bothers me is when he says stuff like, we don't need somebody who fits the characteristics of the Sermon on the Mount to be the president. We need the meanest son of a you-know-what that we can find. There's no place. That is an insult to evangelicals. And that drove me crazy. But anyway, now I got to tell you, they're having this Freedom Sunday at First Baptist Dallas. And it's this Sunday. I said it was the 26th, but it's actually the 24th. At 9:15 and 10:50. And he put up a billboard to promote it, two of them actually, in the Dallas area, that says the special message he's going to bring, America is a Christian nation. And you can imagine, people are going, the mayor of Dallas wrote an op-ed for the Dallas Morning News talking about how bigoted that was and how terrible, and that's not who we are as Texans. Mm-hmm. It's not who we are as people who live in the city of Dallas and blah, blah, blah. Well, when the mayor put this out, this editorial in the paper, the billboard company called up Robert Jefferson and said, I'm sorry, but we're going to, you know, this is causing too much of a problem. We're going to take these billboards down. Mm-hmm. Now, I got to admit, if that happened to me, I'd have fussed and I'd have fought probably, and I'd have gotten aggravated with. But, you know, Robert Jeffress said, no problem, because if a cake baker in Colorado has the right to not put a message on a cake that he doesn't agree with, then a billboard company, such as yourself, has the right to take down a billboard that you don't agree with the message. If that's a, if that is something that you personally, as a company, you as a business owner, you don't like that message, I support your decision to take my billboard down. Then he turned around, and you realize what he just did, right?
Right, right. He, you know, he turned the whole argument around and supported the baker in California and the free speech rights that Christians have.
He also did something else. He told everybody who was paying attention that the billboard company, and he mentioned the name of it several times, doesn't like the message that America is a Christian nation. Now, I'm just saying that there's people that are not going to use that billboard company knowing that they're hostile toward Christianity or a message like that. So that's number one. But number two is, you know, he then, Robert Jeffress turns around and says, calls out the mayor of Dallas and quotes the Supreme Court case with Jack Phillips and says, this is animus, clear animus of a government official against a religious expression. And he said the mayor should be held accountable. The billboard company, they get to decide what they want to do. But the mayor is an elected official, and that's different, and he shouldn't be using the office of mayor or political power to influence this decision. And I went, boom, yow. That is, that you talk about a home run. This was just over the wall. Then he put it out of the park. He actually, when he added this second part in the interview, the ball went over the wall out into the parking lot.
Right.
Because he said, oh, and by the way, we put up 20 billboards today by a company that was happy to put them up for us with the same message. Now, you realize he started out with two. Now he's got 20, and they put them up the very next day. So kudos to Robert Jeffress. That's the way. Look, that's the way we should behave. You talk about consistent. He was right on target with being consistent with his message.
And he also wasn't belligerent and angry.
He wasn't belligerent. He just went out and found somebody else to do what and gave the billboard company some slack, and then turned right around and called out the mayor for exactly what he should have been called out for. So I'm giving him kudos, big time kudos. That's the way that he should respond, and that's so much better than some of the stuff he said during the presidential campaign that was just made me cringe. This makes me proud, and it makes me think, okay, this is a good example of what we're supposed to do when somebody comes after us like that. That mayor's got to feel kind of like shamefaced. I mean, he just comes out looking. He's the guy that comes out looking like a bigot.
Right.
And by the way, America is a Christian nation. It's got quotes around it. Not because it's the sermon title, but because it was actually a quote of the first Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court. His name was John Jay. And John Jay made the statement that America is a Christian nation. And so that was a quote. And his message is going to center around why John Jay would say that. John Jay was an avid believer, follower of Jesus Christ, and so he was going to explain what John Jay meant by that. So I love it. You know, kudos. We ought to do a real
I
should have done a real man update, but we didn't. I can't believe I missed an opportunity.
Well, I wondered. I was like, man, we
to play Reba McEntire on my radio program. All right. Well, we'll hold. There'll be plenty of other opportunities. Don't forget, we got Lee Bright coming up this morning right after Fox News at 8 o'clock. Maybe John Warren. I can't remember when he's but we're going to have him on the show. We're also going to have Attorney General Alan Wilson. By the way, Lee Atwater, if any of Lee Atwater's official people or people who know his official people are listening, would be glad to have Lee Atwater, who's in the runoff with Wilson, Alan Wilson. Be glad to have him on the show. So if you'll just contact me, tbeam@ngu.edu. I'm not going to put out my phone number, not my cell phone. I get enough weird calls. But my email is tbeam@ngu.edu. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Hannah Miller and Dr. Tony Beam.
All right, I'm busy here responding to Chris on Facebook. Chris says, so if America's a Christian country, does that mean non-Christians are not welcome here? Should atheists, Jews, Hindus, etc. be told to leave? And the answer is, of course not. When we talk about America being a Christian nation, we're talking about the principles that the country was founded on. And by the way, one of those principles is religious pluralism. The reason that if you look at Russell Moore at the ERLC, if you listen to anything I say, I mean, I have people sometimes that will call up this program and bash Islam, which, you know, look, I get it. Islam is not the truth. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, not Muhammad, okay? But I would defend the right of Muslims to have a synagogue. To have a, what is it Muslims have? They have a mosque.
Mm-hmm.
The right for, God, I just insulted a lot of Jewish people. I can imagine Ira's on the, that's probably Ira
that's
calling
right now.
But anyway, I defend the right of Muslims to have a mosque. I defend the right of Jews to have a synagogue. I believe religious freedom is for everybody. That is a Christian principle. And if you go to a lot of countries that are not founded on Christian principles, you find what? Religious persecution. So it's not going to fly to try to hang this on Christians by saying, well, if we're a Christian nation, that means we don't want other people. It's just the opposite.
No.
So, does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's why I was trying to type out here, and I ran out of time. Well, now I've said it, but I want to get it in writing. All right, Gene, mm-hmm. thanks for calling.
Yeah, I heard Chris's comment to you. I'm going to bring up a very, very technical but real point. He mentioned that because we're Christians, we have to eliminate all these people. And among the people he listed were Jews. Does Chris not know that Jesus is a Jew?
Well, probably not. I mean, I don't know. He may know that. Chris is a smart guy, so he may know that.
All right.
But I'm just saying.
I want to bring that to everybody's attention because the second coming of Christ is not to the church of the body of Christ. It is to the Jewish people of Israel.
Yes. That was Jesus came for Jew and Gentiles. The Jews rejected him.
Not all of them, because the church did
start
with the Jewish
people. I know that. All right. Okay. Thank you, Gene. I appreciate the people that think they have to straighten me out. It's a long
it's
line.
It's a long line.
You know, I'm sitting here trying to finish typing this, and Gene's trying to tell. I know who Jesus was, okay? And I know that he was a Jew, and I get it that Jewish people, the church grew out of Judaism. You go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You know, the Bible says, talking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, you will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So Christianity began in Jerusalem and spread out to the other parts of the earth. Anyway, that's Chris's point. Is he's not talking about Jesus being a Jew. Chris is talking about the fact that as a Christian nation, does that mean we want to get rid of everybody that doesn't agree with us? That's not a Christian principle. In fact, I would argue that it's the left, that it's progressives that are trying to get rid of everybody who disagree with them, particularly when it comes to religion. I mean, it's progressives who want to tell me that I can't express my religious beliefs in the public arena, that I've got to keep my religion wrapped in a shroud, and the only place that I can talk about it is inside the church. You don't have Christians going around telling other people that that's what they have to do, and I'm certainly not going around telling Chris that he can't express his atheism any way he wants to. So, just something to think about. All right. I feel like I'm talking too
no,
much.
No, it's okay. Well, I've had people messaging me and commenting on here, so yeah. I've been thinking through
thinking,
all of that and responding.
Thinking about
that's
that.
Why it's not been that you've been speaking over me. I just haven't been engaging like I normally do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean,
I'm trying to do this,
kind of,
too.
Of a multitasking thing here.
Yeah.
All right. This is interesting. I wanted to say this. We don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it. But cut number two, Mr. Producer, Steve Mnuchin came out yesterday. And, you know, the tax cut, yesterday was the six-month anniversary of
okay,
the tax
yeah.
cut. So he comes out yesterday and another campaign promise he's talking about, which is filling out your income tax this coming year. What is your income tax going to look like? The form you have to fill out. Listen to this.
Next week, we will be unveiling the new 1040, and it will be a postcard, as we've promised. And hardworking taxpayers won't have to spend nearly as much time filling out their taxes.
Oh, does H&R Block know about this?
Wow.
I mean, that's pretty good stuff right there.
That is pretty good stuff right there.
That's going to make people happy that you can take a post. I mean, how many times have we heard politicians, particularly Republican politicians, say we should be able to fill out our tax information
on
a postcard.
That's right.
Now hopefully it's not a not a postcard. You know,
what kind of postcard are you talking about?
Big enough to float in your pool. uses a float in the pool, but it we'll see what it looks like when it comes out. All right, Bobby's on the phone. Hey, Bobby.
Yeah, Tony, I'm going backwards here, just kind of going back to what you were talking about previously.
Yeah, it's okay.
I just wanted to say that, you know, the whole religion, if you want to call it, of Christianity, rests on two pillars, and it is the love of God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I don't know that you can say that for any other religion on the face of the earth. It's about extending grace and love to those who even hate us. Christ said to love your enemies. What I do see, though, is the standards in this nation that were built on Christian principles are what the left is trying to erase. They don't want to have any rule over them. They don't want to have any authority that says what's right and what's wrong, and that becomes the sticking point. That's where the sandpaper lies. It's not in the way that Christians treat others. It's in the fact that they don't want to have to subdue themselves to any law or any right or wrong.
Right.
So,
nope, that's a good point, Bobby. There's, you know, if there is a God, then we're accountable
to him.
And if there is no God, then we're gods. We're our own gods. And that's what a lot of people want. And they have the right in this country to want that. But they don't. That the fact that they don't want God doesn't give them the right to tell me that I can't have a relationship with God or that my relationship
right,
with God can't be expressed.
I'm sorry,
no, that's okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to extend that to say that, you know, I hear a lot of people talking about the polarization of our country and how divided we are. And I can't help but think, Tony, we go back 4 or 5 decades now where we've taught children that the human race has really just become, has gotten here by chance. We were all pond scum. We just happened to arrive here by chance. It's survival of the fittest. And I think we're starting to see that play out in the way people treat each other. If I'm just here by chance,
right,
and I'm nothing more than you know, happenstance, and it's all about all I can get, I think that that's what we're seeing manifested. When we understand that we're created by God in his image for a purpose, we treat each other differently, whether it's somebody that believes like we do or somebody that doesn't.
Right. Yeah, that's it.
So that the fabric of our nation has been held together by an understanding of these Judeo-Christian principles,
yeah,
and they have been undermined for so long now that...
And look what it does for... Look, what is it doing to us? What is it doing for
exactly.
us?
Exactly.
That we throw those things out. So anyway, thanks, Bobby. I appreciate it very much. Appreciate your call. All right, we got 2 minutes. Cut number 12. Let's wrap up hour number one with a really good feel-good story about a guy named Ray Emery. See if this doesn't bring a tear to your eye. Here we go.
97-year-old vet Ray Emery preparing to leave his Hawaii home for a new life in Idaho, getting a surprise send-off as he went to say goodbye to Pearl Harbor and the pier where his ship was moored during the attack nearly 80 years ago. More than 500 sailors lining the decks of 7 ships saluting Emery, who spent years of his life helping identify remains of those buried as unknowns, with the goal...
The family know that they're not just... missing.
Speaking to Fox affiliate KHON in a 2006 interview, Emery's work has led to nearly 150 servicemen being identified. Lillian Wu, Fox News.
Here's a guy who's given his life over, he's a World War II vet, to finding the and identifying the remains of World War II veterans so families can get some closure. Mm-hmm. So now he's 97, and he's got to leave. He's going to go to Idaho because he's going to have some help, you know, with the latter stages of his life. And so he goes back to Pearl Harbor. The word spreads. I mean, it's mm-hmm. not like, you know, this was a big plan thing.
Right.
The word just got out, and all these sailors come out on the ships, and they stand there and salute the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, that story, when stuff like that happens, it gives me hope. It makes mm-hmm. me think that there are still a number of people in this country that value the things that made America great. And mm-hmm. as long as we've got people who understand that and respond with respect and admiration and even love mm-hmm. to somebody who spends their life in such a noble endeavor, that makes me feel pretty good. All right, we're heading up toward the top of the hour. We've got Lee Bright. He's one of the candidates in the 4th District Republican runoff. We'll have him at 8:05.